I hereby introduce to you, Mr. Michael Veazey.
He's our senior trader, senior account manager here at Currencies Direct, and he's got 6 years' experience with us here, so he's highly experienced and highly knowledgeable about the markets, and I thought he'd be a good person to help give you some guidance and some thoughts around what's happening in the marketplace at the moment.
Yeah, great. So, madam, very welcome to the show as well. Thank you so much. There's a double bonus for us today. So what I'm really interested in is probably, you know, the $64,000 question that nobody can quite answer, or if they could, they'd be rich, but is really to think about, predicting future relationships between currencies. So to try and begin to see what's going to be coming down the path so we can in some way at least begin to prepare for it. So the first question I want to ask is, what are the sort of 3 to 5 biggest factors that you would think is most important to help predict future relationships between the major currencies? And I guess for us, that would be mainly the pound and the dollar and to some extent the euro.
Yeah. Well, in order to answer that question, it's mainly the currency movement is based on the key determination is the key interest rate. So the base interest rate for that particular country. So let's say for the US, there is expectation that, you know, Fed will have another hike by the December 2016. And that's why you see the dollar is really getting a strength against the dollar, euro, sterling, euro, and across the board. So the interest rate expectation within that particular country is the main factor based on the currency movement. Second thing I would say, economic outlook and a future growth expectation within that particular country. So you look at the different reports coming out, you know, manufacturing, job data come out from the U.S., which will be, I think, probably on Friday again. Every first week of Friday, the U.S. job data comes out. So that's kind of give you the kind of insight about where the economy is heading in terms of how the job reports are, how the manufacturing is, retail sales, inflation report. That is, sometimes it weighs a lot on the currency movement as well. And the third thing, which we have seen recently, quite important, which is a political balance and a certainty within that particular country. Because we all know that the pound has, you know, devalued over 28% since this Brexit thing happened. So in a nutshell, the UK is still within Europe, if you call it. We're still part of the euro, we still follow the euros. But this is a kind of uncertainty. The world doesn't like what the UK will be having after a couple of years. And that's called a political imbalance. And as we're going into the November 8th, US presidential election will play the key role in deciding the US dollar movement as well.
Great. Wow. That's really, really detailed. And thank you, because that's a revelation to me. I didn't really know that those are the main things driving it. I mean, obviously, economic factors are obvious in a way, but interesting that interest rates are so key to that. So, okay, based on those factors then, which of those factors do you think are going to be the key to the pound and US dollar relationship over, say, November and December 2016, which is when we're having this conversation in November?
Yeah, I think the main thing what we'll, starting from this, like just Friday, you know, this November, I think we see the massive volatility in the stock market. The odds are, you know, in more favor of Donald Trump recently, if you're following the news, which wasn't the case last week. So that's causing a lot of volatility. On 8th of November, which is the US presidential election, that will cause a massive volatility on sterling dollar. So any kind of dollar-related pair will have a lot of volatility. It depends on who gets elected for the other. If it's Trump, in my view, I could be completely wrong. If it's Donald Trump wins it, we could see a sterling dollar spike towards 128, 130 overnight.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. It's the kind of persona around Donald Trump that, you know, he's a quiet, right word is crazy man in a way. He's a, you know, he does what he feels like is the right thing to do rather than what he is or the kind of position he will hold for. So that's the main criteria I will watch. In the, going into the another thing is December 2016, where actually the Fed is expected to do another rate rise by December 2016. But by saying so, today evening, there is a Fed meeting minutes being released. Today is a Wednesday, and they're going to give a little bit of insight about what they think about the economic outlook and stuff. But in my personal view, Michael, I think U.S. presidential election will play a key role about what Fed will do in December 2016.
Okay.
Depends on who gets the chair.
Wow, that's very, very interesting indeed. So Now, another relevant thing for us as Amazon sellers, with quite a lot of us who are UK-based, we can sell quite easily into the European marketplaces, Germany, France, Spain, Italy, and those are the Amazon different sites in those languages. And that also opens up through Germany, France. From Germany, you open up into Poland, which is kind of a big country as well, and the Netherlands and so forth, all of which are, of course, Eurozone countries. So the euro to dollar relationship is quite important in the sense that if we're selling in euros and we're buying in dollars from the Chinese, even though they're not in America, that relationship then becomes a key one for us. So what do you predict about the euro-dollar relationship?
Well, if someone knows about this, the euro-dollar is a kind of pair that's been trading within a quite tight range for the last nearly year and a half. It's been trading between 108 to 114, kind of 600 to 700 points range. And going into this kind of scenario where we're going, I don't see anything changing at all on that particular pair, because I think ECB has done everything what they had in their hand. They used their all the weapons. They got nothing more to say. They gone down to the QE route and everything. But on the main expectation would be on the US side more now, that what they have in terms of their kind of action, see what would be the expectation going into the March 2017 and onwards from the Fed. So I think this euro dollar would be in a tight range. I think we just had a dip last week around 108. And then right now, as we speak, market is just bounced towards 111.20 level. So you can see that market has been just in a really range bound. Eventually, if the US is, you know, on the way to the raising interest rate further in 2017, we could see those lows visited again at 105 and 103, maybe possibility.
Okay, so 103, that's as in 1 euro 3.
1.03, yeah.
So euros for every dollar that you buy, yeah.
Yeah, it's quite close to the parity level we're looking at here now.
Interesting. Okay, so you think that's going to be a much more stable relationship than the dollar to pound relationship?
Yes, so the pound has got a more kind of connections, because obviously we are playing here two or three things with the sterling dollar, because on the one side we've got the US election coming, then there's a focus on a Fed interest rate, and then there is a Brexit situation. The Brexit situation is going to drag everything for another year and a half and two, maybe even further. The world like to see what the kind of deal the UK will have it to the rest of the world once they're out of the EU zone by 2019 or whenever that is. And it's going to be interesting in what UK will keep right now, what they have on the table with the European zone, and what they will renegotiate. It's completely speculation at the moment. We don't know where exactly the UK economy will be heading in the next 2 years.
Okay, so when you have speculation in the newspapers all the time, that basically reflects in the currency markets with what volatility, I guess, so the rates keep shifting. Is that a fair summary?
Yeah, it is. But generally, the way the currency market moves is it's always look for the what is next rather than what has already happened. So what we generally see on a Bloomberg or a news or the Financial Times is what already happened. They will have a big article tomorrow. Is that Fed say this, but the market already started moving based on expectation. And if the expectation is not exactly what the market expected, and if there is a shock, then the market moved drastically, like what we had on a Brexit.
Right.
I remember I was quietly watching myself, and at 11:45, he said, the Brexit is not likely. The Nigel Farage come out and said, Remain what just made it by a little bit of chance, 2% or something. And I see overnight, 4 hours later, the market dropped over 1,100 points.
Yeah, it's a crazy night.
It is. So that kind of drops. This was a shock for the whole world, everyone on the financial market as well as.
Okay, so one of the things you're saying there is really that if something's already expected, that's already priced into the market. So it's the unexpected, the shock that causes weird volatility. All right. So, for example, if the markets expect Britain to leave the EU with almost no rights to access it, including no passport for the City of London, sorry guys, and so forth, then that will already be priced into the currency exchange, I guess. Whereas if May goes into some meeting and she comes out and actually the EU will be generous to Britain and Germany doesn't want them to leave, so they've done something special, then that might mean that the pound suddenly comes out stronger. Is that the kind of thing you're sort of talking about?
It is. You're just spot on. Basically, market always is priced in about what expecting. So today, any kind of data comes out, there is expectation. There's a market trying to build up. See, this is what we expect. Like right now, on any of the situation, like the US presidential election, they said Hillary Clinton is likely to be the winner. But if the Donald Trump comes, that would be a shock to the market. that might react to the S&P drop like a 5%, 7%, and the dollar will weaken. That will be the immediate reaction, what we notice in a Brexit time.
Yeah.
Anything is not what the market was expecting and happened in the market, that caused a kind of, you know, rapid movement in the currency either way.
Interesting. Okay. So, Manon, that's been really, really fascinating. So I'm personally a big macroeconomic person just because I find it very, very interesting. But we better bring it back down to earth for the close. So, Oriana, could you help us with a little bit of what can we, as the small guys running our little businesses, or maybe big, but relative to, you know, what we earn in the day job, it may be big. But if we're turning up $1 million a year, to somebody who used to earn £25,000 a year, it might feel big. But in the wider scheme of things, it's small, right? But what can we do, or Manon, you can chip in as well, but to mitigate those risks in a practical kind of way over the next, say, couple of months, taking into account US politics and federal interest rates and UK politics and the Brexit sort of thing?
So the right thing, you know, I think while I just come in, I think you were talking about forward contracts and stuff.
Yeah.
That's what I understand. Mm-hmm. So there is a certain things that my clients do that, you know, the forward contracts allow you to lock in the rate at that particular rate. Let's say if you're selling dollars at sterling, I said right now you can get 126 or 124 or whatever that is.
Yeah.
That allows you to make sure that you're going to get paid through that price throughout the term of your contract. So let's say the busy period coming for the sellers, November, December, and they said, you know, this kind of volatility, I might price in my product based on this, and by the time I'll get paid on this. So I don't want to have any uncertainty. I'm sure that my markup is good enough. And can I lock in the rate? So I'm irrelevant what happens on a Brexit and a, you know, Fed and a, who wins the election, I'll get 125 or 126 get paid when I sell dollars into sterling.
Right.
So that allows them to lock in that rate, and then they can work out their pricing on the product they sell.
Great. Okay, so that makes sense. So in a situation of volatility, then a forward contract is probably the most important tool we can consider using.
If you are risk averse. That's right. A little bit specific, because there are clients I manage, they said, well, because they have their own view as well and the kind of reading and the things they support. I said, no, okay, this is going to happen. And now I see the sterling is going to keep going up to, which is 125, 127 and so on. And they will lock in the contract. And the people said, no, it's going to fall further, which is, you know, it's going to hit 119, 115 and so on. They said, no, I will take it as it comes, because they see that they are pricing at this, the product they are pricing at 124 or 126 at present market, and when the market goes even further in their favor, they get more money back.
Okay. So
it's a bit of, but there are clients as well who hedge some and leave some on the table.
Yeah. Okay. So some is forward contracts, and some they just go with, is it a spot contract that the on the daily market price? Okay, great. So thank you. That's very helpful, you know, to earth and to give us something to go away with. It's a bit more simple and straightforward than the big picture, which I find really fascinating. But for people who are more in the beginning stages, what are your sort of best practices around this area of currencies? What are the simple things we can and should do?
Okay, so the first thing you really should do is get yourself set up with an e-tailer collection account. And this will help avoid expensive conversion costs. And you can do this by going to our website, the Currency Direct website, the online seller section, and sign up, and within 48 hours you should have a collection account up and running for free, and there's no cost in getting that done.
Great.
The other is when you're buying stock, ensure you get the best exchange rate will help lower your costs and ultimately impact your margin. So don't use banks for supplier payments, use us to do that as well.
Yeah, okay. I've got to say I second that from experience, because banks can not only hit you with some nasty charges, but in my experience, banks can take 3 or 4 days to send currency to somewhere, especially like China, can be awkward, whereas Currencies Direct or other currency exchange specialists, to be fair as well, will generally send it within 24, 48 hours. So,
Yeah. So get yourself set up with us. Use us for buying stock. Don't use the banks. The other one, which we've talked about really, is around forward contracts, which we've gone through. And also with us, you can be kept up to date with foreign exchange movements. You all have access to someone like Manan, and he'll contact you if there's a notable movement in the exchange rate. The traders usually give their clients a call. You can set yourself up for notifications as well, so you're always really kept up to date with what's going on. And there's other tools which you can use. So if you want to, for example, if you want to watch what the rates are, if you want to set a particular rate that you're looking to achieve before you make a trade, you can set that up with us. So there's lots of ways you can do that. And finally, yeah, really use that relationship you have with your dealer so that you can go through options. You can make discuss what your needs are, so you're always really kept up to date with what's going on. And it really does become very much a personal relationship between our customers and the dealer to know how to look after your money.
Great.
Get the most out of it.
That makes a lot of sense. And that's obviously, you know, words to, you know, warm the ears of a business person desperately trying to, you know, get the business up and running and make it profitable. So, Oriana, many, many thanks for your time. And Manon, that was a great bonus to have you on as well. And I love the macroeconomic thinking. As I said, it's a particular sort of hobby of mine to be interested in global sort of economics. And not that I'm very knowledgeable, but I'm just very interested. So I think that's great to have that big view as well. So we got some very doable, concrete, actionable stuff and some bigger picture stuff to consider if you're more sophisticated economically. So it just remains for me to say thank you very much, guys, indeed, for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much. Been a great pleasure. And, you know, maybe we get you guys back on in the future, near future, but, you know, maybe not sort of too far away. I was thinking just to kind of look back on what's happened and see how close you were with the presidential election. It'd be fascinating to see what on earth happens, eh? It's crazy days.
It is, yeah. Whenever you'd like us on, we're happy to join.
That's lovely. Thank you very, very much, guys.
Thank you.
That's it. Thank you so much for your attention. I really appreciate it. Now, over to you. First, 80-20 everything. Learn the critical few. Maybe there's one thing in this podcast that can make all the difference. Find that thing. 20% of inputs, give 80% of the outputs. Which are the critical few for you? Then take action. Imperfect action beats perfect inaction every single time. Finally, and not least, review. If you've made mistakes, learn from them. If you've made a success, duplicate it. You can't do that unless you look back. So in summary, learn the critical few, then do, then review. And then, my friend, it's up to you. That's it. Thank you so much for your attention. Speak to you in the next episode.